I coach women to find their true self, build a relationship with God. So that's my passion. And I just didn't have the freedom to do that. I need to find something that's going to give me the freedom to work on my why, my passion, and property is that.
How many rent events do you have?
So we've got two.
And what's the occupancy rate on them?
This month, we've just hit 100% occupancy.
Every day.
If you don't take a leap of faith, you're not going to see the reward.
I could work just as hard doing this and I can make 20 times the income.
Make sure you're just in that environment. Environment's just everything.
How much are you making on average with all of the stuff that you're doing in property in total?
7.5 grand every month.
You guys have been a massive asset to the property community. You're killing it in property. And I want to learn all the hacks today. How you package and sell deals, how you secure rent to rents, what you say to agents, what you say to landlords, and also how you've managed to systemize your business so well. So firstly, thank you, Gio and Tutu, for coming on Winners on a Wednesday.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, we're happy to
be here. So why don't you talk about how you got into property? How did it all start?
So we were just like one time during lockdown, I was just chilling. Gio was like, oh, is this guy Samuel Leeds in property? I was like, who's Samuel Leeds? You know, so we watched a few, consumed some of your content on YouTube to understand and everything. And back then we were just giving our lives to God as well. And I didn't want to go and find a mentor who didn't know God. So
yeah,
the fact that,
that you knew
God was, that was it for me. Like,
yeah,
I was
sold
in that, so she was sold in that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So we then booked onto your £1 course February last year. Attended the Rent to Rent Revolution, I believe
it was.
Yeah, we consumed all of that from the start to the finish. And then you talked about the service accommodation at HMO Bootcamp, the 4-day intensive. And we didn't hesitate, we booked onto that straight away. And from then, our journey has just grown.
That's awesome. Yeah. What were you doing at the time then? Were you like working in normal jobs?
Yeah, we were both in our 9-to-5. So I come from building, surveying and valuation background.
It's handy.
Yeah, which is great because I've kind of always been in property, to be honest. My dad is a painter, decorator by trade, so I've kind of always grew up around property and I've always been really interested in it. So yeah, for me it was like I knew that we were going to be in property, and like I just knew that it was going to happen. So coming across to you at the time we did was like,
and there's a big difference, isn't there, between being like a property professional and a property entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So like my wife, for instance, she's a QS. Mm. So she's got all that knowledge and she went to uni. But then when we met, she was like, actually, I could work just as hard doing this and I could make 20 times the income.
Yeah.
What were you doing, Tutu? What was your job?
So I have a background in marketing and consulting. So business consulting, financial consulting and technology consulting. So that's what I was doing. And as a consultant, you're basically naturally a problem solver. You're taking somebody's problem, a client's problem, and becoming the solution provider for them, and that's what they pay you for. So that's the background and that's the strength that I brought into our business, you know, and that's what we've been doing since running the business. Mm. Every problem we face is always, what's the solution behind it, not just seeing it as a problem, but seeing it as an obstacle.
What was it about property though? What was the why? What was the strongest reason that made you go, right, we're gonna do this?
The first one, 100%, was leaving the 9-to-5, leaving the rat race.
You didn't like it much?
No, like I just needed the freedom. Like I just was craving that freedom to just do what I want to do in life, like have the freedom to travel, but not just that, but also like I'm a life coach as well. Like I coach women to find themselves, like find their true self, connect with God, build a relationship with God. So that's my passion. And I just didn't have the freedom to do that, you know, alongside working. So I was thinking, I need to find something that's going to give me the freedom to work on my why, my passion, and property is that. And obviously now that we're full time, like it's brilliant because we have that freedom now to do what we love and just working towards like completely systemizing. So it's amazing.
My why is not too far from hers. You know, so a few years ago in 2019, when I went to Nigeria, we were home visiting grandparents as well. And there was this little girl that was coming around to the house. And one day I just asked my mum and dad, I was like, who's this girl? Who's the mum? Who's the dad to this little girl? And mum told me it's my cousin. So I spoke to my cousin. I said to her, oh, where's the father? How are you guys? You guys okay? And she was just telling me the story. And basically, when she was about 8 months pregnant with her daughter, her husband passed away. And that really touched my heart because this little girl, she was 3 at the time, she's just never going to know a father figure. And and her mother was struggling to make ends meet. And in Africa, you have to pay school fees from nursery up to university. So before I left Nigeria, I said to her, you know what? Quit your job. This was still working full time at the time. Quit your job. I will cover expenses, school fees, however much you were paying for you were being paid for work, your house rent, all of it. And since January 2020, I've been the sole provider to that little girl. I just basically adopted her like my own little daughter. And I've just been providing for her ever since. And that was my biggest one. And I'll say to myself, if I could do that with a small salary from a 9 to 5, once I've become financially free and I've got more money, I want to do that to more children in Nigeria, more children in Africa, kids who don't have mum and dads and parents who just lost, who are widows or widowers. So that was my biggest drive to wanting to become financially free as well. Yeah. And similar to what Gio was saying, with work, I wasn't waking up feeling purposeful with that job. You know, I was working for somebody else and they were filling their pockets and doing overtime and not getting that paid. Now, I wake up different. I'm up an hour before my alarm goes off because I'm pouring so much into people now. It's brilliant.
You're doing what you love doing and you're doing what you're born to do.
And
also being able to make a difference, having time freedom, being able to help people.
Exactly.
That's awesome. So talk me through your first deal. So you joined the academy about how long ago? 6 months?
Almost a year ago.
Almost a year ago.
Already.
I remember though, when you first joined the academy, if I remember, I might misremember this, you were struggling at first to get a deal over the line.
Yeah.
And it was taking ages.
And you
were like, I need to leave my job like yesterday.
Yeah.
So
what
took so long? What was the biggest struggle at the beginning and what changed?
Ooh, so it was a fact. So we were doubting ourselves a lot as well. We weren't being consistent in the first 2-3 months when we joined the academy. We wouldn't attend the Monday calls every Monday. We had this excuse that we had to do a lot more things in the evening on a Monday to not attend.
Yeah.
And then one day we just joined. We heard Sayu talk about getting her third one at the time, and we're like, what are we doing?
Hold on a second.
We're not married yet. We don't have any kids yet. We just have a 9 to 5. But Sadie's got all those things and she's
already
got
her third.
So like we're doing something wrong.
And
that just lit a fire into us.
We were
every Monday since then, we were just saying, whatever it is we have to do, let's just concentrate. And that 2 hours on a Monday evening, we're attending those calls.
Yeah.
We've never had an academy member ever go on all of the calls throughout their membership and not be financially free.
It's
never happened. There's a direct link, a correlation between being on the Accountability Monday night calls and showing up and success, because it gets a bit awkward to see. Like, if you're new on the academy, first weekend, observe, nice. Second weekend, I might call you out. What have you done then in the last week or two? I've done a couple of viewings. A month in. How much money you made? Nothing yet. That gets awkward after 2, 3, 4 months.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? Just to shut Samuel up and also the positive peer pressure of everybody else, let me just become financially free and then people will get off my back. And that's what you need.
Yeah.
It's like the 100%. Opposite of when you're in a job and everyone wants you to win, but they don't want you to win more than them. Because if you become financially free, they know that you'll leave the circle. So subconsciously, everyone's holding you back.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're in a group of people that are all financially free, all winners, everyone's pulling each other up, you can't help but be successful.
100%. That's something we literally realised. Like, it's like infectious. Like, you can't... The energy of the academy and like the people we've met and just the relationships we've formed, the friendships, it's like I always say this to you, I'm like so grateful that we joined and we've met all these people, because we would not be where we are if we hadn't. And like, it was just something that we really needed in our life at
the
that
celebrations
time.
That we did when you guys came up. I remember you at the dinner and I think Tucci stood up and he said, we just sold, it was about 3 months since the academy.
We just sold,
and we only made a grand or 2 grand or so. It wasn't a huge, it wasn't a life-changing amount of money.
Yeah.
It was like, we just sold our first deal. And everybody was like, going crazy.
And
that was amazing.
That was like the best sleep we had that
night. I know, we were like, first one's done.
Yeah, because we were waiting and waiting for them to send the money through before we can send the pack. And midnight, money landed. Oh, okay, cool.
We woke up so good that next day.
Talk to me about how you found that deal. What was it? Like, what was the deal?
Yeah, so it was a rent to service accommodation in Reading. That a management company was already, the management company manages for the landlord for a few, and we had gone to Reading to meet for trying to get our own rent to rent. So I built a good relationship with that management company in Reading, and you know, telling them what we do. I basically sold who I am as a person and telling them what we do, that you know, we're new into property management, but we have knowledge, not experience. And he really bought into that, and he was saying to me, oh, you know, he manages a large portfolio for landlords that international landlords that don't have that don't live in the UK. He's open to working with me. You know, if I've got investors that want to get into a rent to rent that we can manage. So I bring the investors and he would just be the management coming up. Like, this is a great opportunity. Yeah. So he sent me one property. We did our little due diligence on it. We were actually at the BR Art Course when we sold our first one. So we did our due diligence on it. We sat down with Sue, sat down with Tony, made sure that the due diligence was ironclad. And then, yeah, one or two Academy members we spoke to on that day said they were looking for deals, rent-to-rent deals in Reading. I was like, oh, we just packaged this one, and you want to have a look? So we sat down with them, walked them through the numbers, and then they also walked it through Sue and Tony, which we just did.
At the course.
And then they were happy with the whole thing. You know, it was their first deal, and I made sure that everything was understood from that side. And they were like, yeah, happy to put down the $3,000. And then they put down the $3,000, and it was, yeah, we just happy the next day at the dinner. That's so good.
And another great thing as well is when you're doing business with Academy members, you know that they're covered. Yeah. You know, they've got a PIMS membership. You got a PIMS membership. It means that there's a bit, a bit of accountability, a trust there, because you can't just, you know, there's some people that are deal selling and they're just selling junk. You know, they'll just sell anything. And then the investor might be like, hang on, what the heck is this? Meanwhile, that person's disappeared, closed their business down. It happens, you know, and you've got to know how to do your due diligence on the people you're doing business with. Yeah. Not just people that you're buying deals from, but also people that you're selling deals to. 100%. You've got to qualify them. You can't just sell deals to some random person. You've got to qualify them. You know, you've got to have contracts in place. You know, so now you've gone on, you've been selling on average, what, like at least a deal a month?
That is average.
Which has replaced your salary alone. Basically. And you've also got rent to rents. How many rent to rents do you have?
So we've got two. So we've got one in Windsor, one in Milton Keynes. Yeah. And we're on the way to getting our third now. It's just going through like referencing and everything with agents.
Are they rent to HMO or rent to service accommodation?
Service accommodation.
Yeah, service accommodation.
And what's the occupancy rate on them?
Oh, we're doing really well.
Yeah.
Are they? Because that's the thing people fear. Sorry, but that's the thing.
That's okay,
people really fear getting a rent to rent, putting it on booking.com, getting a channel manager, Airbnb, and the bookings aren't coming. So it'd be really interesting what percentage you're full.
Milton Keynes, so this month we've just hit 100% occupancy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Every day?
Every single day.
Booked up.
Who booking it?
it was a couple. They stayed the first. So one thing we've understood from service combination, if a guest books 10 nights or more, there's a 90% chance they're going to extend.
Because they're there. Because if you think, this couple are relocators. So if you think, if it's people wanting to stay in a service accommodation while they're looking for somewhere to live, they're probably going to want to extend it. If it's not for the whole month, at least for another like week or so. We've now got the strategy of telling them like, oh, you can extend and you can book through our website, direct booking, and get 10% off. And so that's what they do. And so that's why we've been able to achieve 100% occupancy.
I was going to say, it sounds high. Another thing, when people think about service accommodation, they just think tourists. But tourists is a very small percentage of guests.
Oh, 100%.
Especially in a place like Milton Keynes. Yeah. And I remember there was a lady who was just brand new to the Academy, lived in Milton Keynes, and she was saying to me, oh, obviously it won't work in Milton Keynes. And I said, what do you mean? Obviously it won't. I said, we got loads of people doing it in Milton Keynes. And she was like, but who's going to want to come to Milton Keynes on holiday? And I was like, if you're thinking of it like that, Miami, Milton Keynes. You know, if you're thinking of it like that, but if you've got contractors, professionals, relocators, actually there's a huge market for it.
I always say to a lot of the first time investors or people taking on a rent to service accommodation, 50% of it is how you market your property.
100%.
You know, like I've come from a marketing background, so pull out the unique selling point of that property. Has it got a balcony? You know, like what about the futures make it comfortable to live in? You know, because a lot of people get in their minds that they assume that they're guests. You're not your own guest. You know, target your top three guests. Are they couples? Are they families? Are they tourists or contractors? So your description and your titles should be aimed towards your target audience always.
Yeah.
And your top 5 to 10 pictures should be aimed at your target audience as well. So 50% of managing a service accommodation by yourself is how you market your property 100%. As well.
That's something we learned. Because in the, because we got both our essays in like winter months, like the hardest time to get them.
It is.
So when we first got them, obviously we weren't getting many bookings. We spoke to academy members, like people who had some in those areas, and also just who had been had quite a few essays and doing it for a while, asking them like how do they market it? It's looking at their listing, seeing what we were doing wrong. That's when we realised we weren't marketing it right. Yeah. And so that's when we made the changes, took better pictures, like you said, targeted the audiences that we wanted to target. Our Windsor one is like 6 minutes from Legoland. So obviously we're targeting families and contractors because it's near Slough Business Park. Yeah. So we started changing our description to fit around that. Yeah. And so that's how we've been able to achieve the occupancy now. Yeah. And we'll make changes every week. Because when you make changes every week, something we learned from an academy member, it pushes your property up on the algorithm on the online travel agents. And then it gets your property like to the top and it makes it more popular because you're constantly changing things.
Yeah. And we also have a target as well that we aim for. We aim for 70% occupancy rate every month. Yeah. Anything beyond that is a great bonus for us because we're gonna be making more than we expected. So we always aim for a target of if our researchers said 70% is the average. We aim for that every month. Yeah. And everything on top of that is just an extra bonus for
us. I think
us.
The best time to get serviced accommodation properties is January and February. And I'll tell you why I think January and February is the best. Because if you can make profit in February, then you're going to kill it the rest of the year. Yeah. And I'd be worried if someone said to me, I've just got a property in August. I've just got a property in July and I made 450 quid. I'm like, because if you can only make 450 quid in July and August and September, then you might end up losing money. So you've got to really think about this as rather than a monthly thing, this is an annual thing. What sort of profits are you making then on your two rent-to-rents generally?
So Milton Keynes is making on average about £500 a month profit.
Yeah.
Windsor's a bit of a slower burner. Because there's more expenses in it. We've been able to cover like rent bills, which is great. We haven't had to use our own money or anything. So that's obviously a bonus for us. But we haven't seen like a full profit from it yet. Yeah. But we're confident though that in April, because we're seeing more and more of a decrease in expenses because we're getting more bookings and higher nightly rates. So in April, we're very confident that we'll make a good profit from it. So it's been a bit slower, but we know it's getting there.
How much are you making on average with all of the stuff that you're doing in property in total? Because you quit your jobs now. So what sort of income are you making?
It's about seven and a half grand every month.
And that's for everything.
Deal selling and rent to rent. Trying to sell on average about 3 deals a month.
So you're pushing that up now.
When the new year started, we pushed that because obviously we're full time now. So, and then when we split our roles, I went just ham into deal selling and making sure that we're hitting 3.
What are your roles then, Gio and Tutu? How do you kind of like manage the whole business in terms of what are your, do you just do the same thing? Do you both do a bit of everything or have you got clear defined roles?
Yeah, clear defined roles.
Yeah. So for me, I manage our service accommodations. So like I will make sure everything is fine. The guests are fine. Guests are checking in and out okay. Cleaners are on job, like doing what they're meant to do, making sure everything is like fine, you know, with the service accommodations. Also doing like the admin spreadsheets and all of that, you know. So making sure everything's like organised and
so basically,
flowing.
Tutu makes all the mess. And then you pick
and
up
I
all the.
Like, I need to, yeah.
Sounds like me and my wife. I'm the builder, and she's the manager.
That's it. Yeah.
So I make sure everything's like behind the scenes, everything's fine, and
I'm constantly talking to investors. Speaking with other deal sources as well, seeing what deals are up there. Qualifying bespoke investors as well, and then going and finding their deals for them as well. So my side of the business is more the deal selling side. We do have business meetings at the end of every day to make sure that we keep each other accountable. And we at the end of the week we then look at what's left that we have that isn't priority, that isn't done, and then we do all the admin together as well.
What would you say have been any mistakes then in business?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, what was our mistakes?
I need to think about that.
I think we kind of clashed heads in the first three months. Because this is our second business together. So, but this is our first property business together. So the first 3 months, we were just trying to figure out how do both strengths work. you know, it just took a while. We were both like clashing heads with like how we feel like the business should move forward in property, because we were still learning different strategies. We only just learned rent to rent and services commercial at the time. Then we went on to the BRRs, then the lease option,
and then deal selling.
Yeah. So we just, as we were learning all the strategies, we were just trying to figure out, you know, like where, what direction are we heading with this business?
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to sell deals, she's trying to do this, BRRs, nobody was doing rent to rents.
Yeah.
So it was just, yeah, just clashing. And then we then sat down and said, cool, this is what she's strong at, this is what I'm strong at. Let's have clear defined roles in the business, and let's manage each other like directors as well.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And I think that's why it took us about 6-7 months to like get our first, well, sell our first deal, but also get our first rent to rent.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually a big reason why it took us a while, because we were a bit like, oh, we want to do this and this and this, and we want to do everything. And we didn't have like a streamlined direction of where we were going.
Yeah.
You know?
And it can take time.
Yeah.
It can.
It did. It took us time. And it's fine. But
because we understand our own journey. So it was fine for us because we understand our own journey.
Exactly.
We're not following or comparing to everybody else's.
Yeah, yeah.
And my biggest thing I always say is direction is more important than speed. So we weren't in a rush.
Exactly.
To get successful, we're making sure that we're doing it diligently and following the footsteps that you've taught us and to get there. Now we're here.
How does it feel, Gio, to be free from your job now?
And amazing.
To
be like the best feeling ever, yeah. Honestly.
Is it?
Yeah, like it was.
Coming home.
I was like coming home. I would be like waking up at like 5, 6 a.m., which is fine if you're doing what you love, right? Yeah. But I wasn't. So I was getting up at 5, 6 a.m., and it was still dark, like feeling like, oh great, here we go again. And then coming home at like 8 p.m., working till 10 p.m. to finish like what I had to do for the day. I'd be like breaking down and crying to him, like I can't do this anymore. Like it was so, a lot of stress on me. And I was like, I'm done. Like I'm just ready to just walk away. And I was saying to God, like, God, like, please, I need to get out of this job. Mm. And then it happened like a month after I prayed to him.
That's great.
And so I was like, oh, it's just amazing. Like, yeah.
How did you justify the decision to invest into the academy? Because that's a big investment.
I know. Yeah.
Man, you had to convince me.
Yeah.
You had to convince me because we had, and I was saying this to my, I think I told a few people this as well. Our first 2 years in it together, we'd saved up enough money to put a deposit down in a house.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
All that work for all those years.
In our savings.
And after the SA and HMO bootcamp, when we first heard about the academy, we were like, she said, we're going to do it. Yeah, and the African in me was just like, no, I refuse to take half my savings. Nah, you must be bluffing. But she made me realize that no, it's not money. It's an investment into like the knowledge you're going to acquire ourselves, the mentoring you're going to get. And so I bought into that and I believed in her and I trusted that. So took my half as well, put it into the academy. And we just did it without looking back. Yeah.
Wow. Big commitment.
Yeah.
Worth it?
100%. Oh, yes.
It's completely propelled us. Like, I mean, for us to be here is mad. I was saying to you, like, we're actually doing this. Crazy.
I was having tea one night and then that's when your text come through.
We were like, what?
You've been making moves, man.
I know.
You know, $7,000 a month is serious.
It's
serious profit to be making. And yeah, you've both quit your jobs, gone full time, and massive asset to the community as well.
Thank you.
Did a lot of business with people. What were your final words of wisdom for people that are maybe just getting started into property or wanting to get into property? What would be your best piece of advice?
For me, I would say work on your mindset first. Mm. I've realized it's the most important thing. Like for me, when I started, I suffered a lot of anxiety. It was a big thing for me. And I realized like for me to succeed in this, I have to push through anxiety, fear of judgment, fear of rejection, like all of that. I had to push through that. I just had to do it. And thankfully I had you who was so supportive through it, pushing me and being alongside me. But I would say, first of all, like make sure your mind is in the right place. Like make sure you're able to, first of all, be vulnerable with people around you. Surround yourself with people that are gonna push you, that know you, that know maybe where your mind sometimes goes and can pull you back, you know. And that's what I would say is like my, the biggest thing is the mindset, and also, like I said, community, surrounding yourself with people. Because I get, I understand, I'm grateful that we've got each other, and I understand people that are doing on their own that it can be hard. So if you're on your own and you're not around family and friends that kind of have the same drive and mindset as you, like, make sure you're surrounding yourself with people that do. Make sure you're just in that environment. Environment's just everything.
Oh, so, big time.
Yeah.
Environment is such everything. And for me, it's my biggest saying now, which I've adopted, is direction is so much more important than speed. Yeah. If you're just starting out and you don't have the knowledge, get some knowledge, you know. You went to university for 3 or 4 years or whatever it is, and you got a degree, and now you're paying it off on tax. Just because you didn't physically put that money in doesn't mean you're not paying for it somehow, you know? Yeah. So invest in learning how to do property correctly, and just reach out to, put yourself out there. If you don't take a leap of faith or take a risk, you're not gonna see the reward. But there's risk in everything. You know, so you just got to jump in and do it and believe in yourself, like Giovanna is saying, and see every no as one step closer to a yes. Yeah, you know, everybody that ever had a job has gone through a no, but that didn't stop you from getting the job eventually. You had to ride through that no. So we went through like 300 no's before we got our first one in our rental service accommodation. So we've been through it, you know. So when people reach out to us saying, oh man, I feel downhearted after two, I'm like,
you need to keep going.
After two?
You need to keep,
288 to go, mate. 288 to go.
So, keep going.
Amazing. Man. Well, congratulations on your success and your persistence.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.